The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
It is a great pleasure to have us all together for this Missions Conference Chapel, and I'm very grateful that I have the opportunity to introduce someone who has been a mentor and a dear friend to me through the years, Dr. John Henry Bechtel. He says that no one ever uses his middle name since his mother passed away, so I use it to honor him. He gives me a little extra respect for doing that, right? Now, another thing you need to know about Dr. John Henry Bechtel is that he is probably a comedian who missed his calling because the Lord called him to missions. He would have been able to rival Johnny Carson or David Letterman with no trouble. And it's always a great joy to be with him. And as a result, he is the most in-demand mission speaker in America. And I'm not saying that like he does, exaggerating things. I only tell the truth. That is the truth. And that means we have an extraordinary privilege to have Dr. Bechtel with us today. And I had to promise him a fifth honorary doctorate to get him here, to leave Palm Beach's 90-degree weather to come to 12 degrees here in Philadelphia. But I can't give him an honorary doctorate because I've already done that. So he can't give him a second one. It's against the rules, I guess. How many honorary doctorates, John? Number? You have four now.
They're for sale.
But he tells me his Westminster honorary doctorate, although worthless, is his favorite. So I don't know what to say about that, but that's the truth. Well, all hilarity aside for the moment till he speaks, I want you to know I have the great honor to let you know that the alumnus of the year of Houghton College, not publicly yet announced, is going to be someone who you're going to hear speaking today. I can't say his name publicly, but knowing that you are good at logical inferences, you're probably able to conclude who that may be. Further, I want you to know that John served for many years with the DeMoss Foundation, evaluating projects of evangelism all over the world. And he has been at the core of some of the most exciting things that have changed the face of missions, that have seen millions of people come to faith. And this is no exaggeration, it is the truth. I think one of the things that I really appreciate about John is that once you're around his vision, you begin to change and you realize that missions is not for someone else. It's of the very essence of who you are as a Christian. And that is true in my own life. I tell him that whether he likes it or not, I'm a product of his ministry. My interest in missions started when he took me on a missions trip. In fact, he didn't take me, he sent me without anybody. And I was left stranded in the Philippine airport, Manila, and he said, don't leave the airport without the person taking you because Americans are regularly found floating in the harbor. And he said, make sure they don't steal your suitcase. Put your foot on the suitcase and wait there until someone comes to pick you up. So here I am in the airport like this, watching my clock. 1 hour passes, so I have to change my legs, so it's like this. Another hour passes, and I'm like this. And there's no cell phones. I knew no one in Manila, and I've never been out of the country before. And my wife said, if you go over there and die, I'll kill you. So here I am, I'm stuck, and there's no one to do anything to but to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, rescue me. And so I went out, and I was ready to die for Christ right there and be, see the headline, Presbyterian minister's body found floating in the Manila Harbor. And I had to find my way, and I did it. So that was my first cross-cultural experience. I owe it all to you, John. I will not tell the story about having to drop my pants to get my passport out of my money belt in an airport because he so terrified me that I wouldn't lose my passport. And he said, pull it out. I said, I can't. He said, sorry, well, that's another story for another day. It's X-rated, so I'll just have to leave that go. But thank God for the work of missions, the delight it is to see the nations reached. Every one of us are seated here because of missionary work, without exception. Because when Jesus came into the world, he was sent by his Father. And as he prayed in his high priestly prayer of John 17, I send them, Father, even as you've sent me into the world. I find that extraordinary, that as Jesus is preparing to offer the great propitiatory sacrifice for sinners, that what is on his mind is the completion of his mission, which is his sacrifice. So as we talk about the Ecclesia Christi, the Missio Dei, the Church of Christ, and God's mission, we're talking about what is at the very heart of Christ himself. Indeed, do not despise the day of small things, a small missions conference. My prayer is the day will come that Westminster's missions conference will be the most attended event that we will have, and that we will begin to reclaim the passion of missions that was part of the old Princeton when that missionary movement began to say we're going to reach the world for King Jesus. Every nation will one day bow before our King. We need to reclaim that passion. And so it's my great privilege and pleasure to introduce John Henry Bechtel, honorary doctorate from Westminster, world's greatest missionary speaker, a dear friend who's coming to help us get reinvigorated about missions.
I'm coming to get you off the platform. I lived in the Philadelphia area for 12 years. I spoke at every church around and everything, but I was never invited to speak at Westminster Seminary. Now I live where this morning the temperature is 78 degrees. Where do I get invited to? Westminster Seminary. But it's my pleasure to be here. Is there anybody here from Hong Kong? Peter, we got to do something about that. Oh, they must have heard I was coming. Anyway, it's my privilege to be here. Dr. Lilback has been a great man in my life. He's my pastor. He will speak at my funeral if he outlives me. And I admire the fact that Westminster Seminary is providing professors for seminaries across the world. I was the president of the Alliance Bible Seminary in Hong Kong. We used to call it that because it was half dead when I got there. But that seminary has grown into the largest seminary in Asia now for Chinese people. And in that seminary, three or four of the professors are from Westminster. And we praise God for the education that you're getting here. The world is waiting for you to come and to lead in the Bible schools and seminaries across the world. Jonathan Jow, a graduate of this great institution, is still well known and highly respected in China. And many people know that his efforts, both inside China and in Hong Kong, have made a great difference to the evangelical world in that part of the world. In Hong Kong, the China Graduate School of Theology would not be there if it were not for Jonathan Jow. And that's the most advanced theological seminary we have in Hong Kong. So you have a great heritage here in this school. Now today, I had many options as to what I would talk about, but I think it's good for you to hear what happens with small beginnings. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. Many of you are going to go back to your country, the country from which you came, and you're here because missionaries went over there and preached the gospel. My father went to China in 1932. He was a printer in Albany, New York. He had known Jesus for 3 months. He went to a missionary meeting where a missionary spoke, and there were over 1,200 people there. The missionary was from China. The missionary said, "We have a desperate need in China. We need someone to print Bibles. Is there a printer here tonight? My father put his hand up, and it was the only hand that went up. The missionary said, come up here, young man. My father had never been in such a meeting in his life. He quickly put his cigars lower in his pocket so nobody would see them. He walked up on the platform, and the missionary said to him, we need you in China. You're the only printer here today. Tonight, God has called you to China. And my dad said, where is China? And the man said, you will soon know. 3 years later, he was in China, printing Bibles. And God used him enormously. And I'm going to start the story today with him. After he had been there for quite a time, he found himself in Hong Kong. Hong Kong at that time had 300,000 to 400,000 people. Today there are 8 million people. In the high density areas of Hong Kong, there are 8,000 people per acre. This seminary is on property that's 16 or 17 acres. I'll let you multiply that by 8, and you will know how many people would live on this property in the high-rise areas of Hong Kong. While he was in Hong Kong, he felt it was important to start a church. So he went and looked around for a place to start it. He found a garage. He started a church. When there were 8 baptized members of that church in 1940, the Japanese decided they would like to come to Hong Kong. My mother and I left on the last ship. My father was captured. He was in jail, in an prison camp. He lost 90 pounds, and by God's mercy, I've been able to gain back all of those 90 pounds. Of the 4 missionaries that went in, he was the only one that came out. He went back to see that church, and that church had grown from 8 baptized believers to a congregation of 250 people. Because they could not afford a sign, the Japanese soldiers who came to see what it was told it was a club where everybody got together on the weekend, and they were able to continue through the war. Fast forward to the day I went as a missionary with my wife in 1966. I worked for the Christian and Missionary Alliance. When I arrived in Hong Kong, I already knew how to speak Cantonese. I had lived in Hong Kong until I went to college. I loved Hong Kong. I was going home. My wife was from Kansas City, Missouri. She had never been out of the country. She had never seen a cockroach. She had never smelled a street in Hong Kong. She was mortified when she got there. But my goal in going there was to follow my dad's example and plant churches. At that point in the history of our church planting in Hong Kong, we had about 6 churches. And when you go as a missionary in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, for your first 2 years, you are called a junior missionary. That means you are seen and not heard. Keep your mouth in the closed position and learn. So I kept my mouth in that position, which is very, very hard for me to do. And after I finished being a junior missionary, I went to see the chairman of the mission. The chairman of missions know everything. I went to him and said, why aren't we planting churches? He said, well, you don't understand Hong Kong, do you? I said, well, I was born here, but perhaps I don't understand Hong Kong. Why don't you tell me about it? He said, Hong Kong has the highest real estate values in the world. You can't just, like in Africa or in some other countries, just pick a piece of land and build a church. Every piece of land has something on it already. We can't afford to plant more churches. In our missions budget, to plant churches for 2 years, we have $470. We just can't do it. So we have to keep working in what we have. I wasn't satisfied with that. That really bothered me. We were told to go into all the world, bring people to Christ, and disciple them, and put them in churches where they can grow and go out as missionaries. The last command Jesus gave was, go. That's simple. And I understood it. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to plant churches. I went back to the chairman and said, I really want to plant churches. He said, well, we can't. We don't have the money. We don't have the people. So I said, okay, but would it be all right with you if I went and just looked around to see if there was any place we could possibly plant a church? He says, you can do that. But come back and tell me what you found. Don't sign anything, agree to anything, or do anything until you talk to me. I am the chairman. I went and started looking. At that time, Hong Kong was just being overrun by refugees. And also, a new middle class was forming. And to house the middle class, they decided to build a place called Mei Fu Sun Chun. Mei Fu means beautiful tiger. Sun Chun means new village. And they were building this Mei Fu Sun Chun place for 100,000 middle to upper class Hong Kong citizens. When I heard that, I said to my dear wife from Kansas City, Missouri, I'm going to go look at Mei Fu Sun Chun. So I drove over there, and here are these beautiful buildings going up right on the ocean. So I parked my car, and I went back to one of the buildings that was still under construction. And as I walked towards that building, having parked my car, I walked towards the building, and there was a man standing there with a hard hat on and a hard hat under his arm. And I walked up to him, and I said, Joe, good morning. He said, good morning. Are you the inspector? I said, yes, I am. So he gave me the hat, and we went in and inspected the building. I said to him, I'm looking for a school or a kindergarten or someplace with a big hall. Oh, I have a kindergarten. I'll show you. He took me to the kindergarten, under construction, water dripping on us. I looked. There's a beautiful hall in the middle and classrooms on the outside, and I thought, church. I said, thank you. Here's the hat. The other inspector will be here shortly. And I went back to the chairman. So, Mr. Chairman, I found the perfect place. And I told him about it. He says, oh, that sounds like a wonderful opportunity. I says, it is. Would you mind if I go see the manager, the director? He said, yeah, you can go, but don't sign anything, don't agree to anything, don't even look like you're interested. Just ask. So I said, okay, I will. So I went. And I went in to the office, and the secretary was sitting there. And I said to her, I'd like to see the manager. And she said, we have a new manager. Well, I said, well, whoever is the manager, that's who I'd like to see. She said, he just came from America. I said, oh, really? Yes, he was sent here by Mobil Oil. They own this. I said, oh, really? Why did they send him? Much corruption. He's here to beat corruption. He's a very tough man. You don't want to see him. I said, yeah, I do want to see him, actually. I'm in my Hong Kong suit, which is okay unless you bend over, you know. So I go in to the office, and here is the biggest American man I ever saw in my life, standing behind a rosewood desk with carpet on the floor. No carpets in Hong Kong except in his office. And I looked at him, and I thought, what am I doing in this office? He said, can I help you? I said, yes, sir. I work for an organization that runs schools, kindergartens, and I noticed in stage 4, there's a kindergarten property available, And I'm wondering if you could tell me, can that be rented? Because we'd like to run the kindergarten, and on a Sunday morning, we'd like to have a church service. He said, what'd you say? I said, it's not important. The main thing is we'd like to run the kindergarten. He said, well, you said, did you mention church? I said, yeah, I did. He said, well, why are you whispering? I said, well, I thought maybe you didn't want a church in there. He said, you know, I'm from Columbus, Ohio. When I heard I was coming to Hong Kong, that's the worst thing I ever heard in my life. I don't like Hong Kong. I don't like anything about it. And my job here is to clean up corruption. And so my wife and I were thinking about coming to Hong Kong. And my wife and I are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you? I said, yeah, I am. Well, then why did you mutter church? I said, well, you know, some places don't like churches. So we sort of move in and then start a little church on Sunday morning. He said, well, let me tell you something, sir. In my drawer here, I have 20 applications for that kindergarten. I believe, and my wife agrees with me, that we were sent to Hong Kong by God to put a church in Mei Fu Sun Chin. So I'm waiting for someone to come through the door and say, would it be all right if we started a church in Mei Fu Sun Chin? And I have 20 applications for people who have put their down payment down for that kindergarten. And I haven't given it to any of them because I'm waiting for someone to come through the door and say, I want to plant a church. So I said, well, you've got the guy here right now. I want to plant a church. He said, okay. I said, are there any details I should know? He said, yeah, there are some. I'll tell them to you. He goes down through rent, this, fixing the place up, and so on. Comes to $32,000. Now, if any of you are missionaries here today, and I'm sure there's some, missionaries aren't familiar with the term $32,000. That's unheard of. And I'm thinking we have $470 in our church planting budget for 2 years. And this guy's talking about $32,000. So I said to him, his name is Mr. Zender. I said, Mr. Zender, I want to plant a church, but we can't afford it. Mr. Zender's countenance changed. Mr. Zender said, say that again. I said, we want to plant a church, but we can't afford it. Mr. Zender got up in his Brooks Brothers suit behind his rosewood desk and walked around to me, looked down at me sitting in a chair, and he said these words that changed my life. He said to me, businessman to fearless missionary, how big is your God? That's worse than him shooting me. That went right to my heart. How big is your God? My answer was, my God is very big. But you haven't met my chairman. I'm going to go talk to the chairman. So I go talk to the chairman. Chairman says, John, you're out of your mind. $32,000, it's irresponsible. Mr. Chairman, how big is your God? Where'd you hear that? I heard that from Mr. Zender. He said that to me so forcefully with a red face and went and sat down and almost threw me out of his office. So I'm asking you, how big is your God? He said, I'll call a committee together. Now, when you want to kill something, you form a committee. I knew it was all over as soon as he called the executive committee. Executive committee is made up of the best people on the field who know everything. And they voted 3-2 not to do it. irresponsible. We don't have the money. If we sign that, they have to pay all this. They told me, I said, well, why don't you go back and tell Mr. How Big Is Your God that we're not going to do it? They said, you go tell him. So I went back and wrote a note and gave it to the secretary. I didn't even dare see him. Sorry, we can't do it. Our God is big, but we can't do it. It bothered me so much that I couldn't sleep at night. I like to sleep at night. That's what you do at night. I kept thinking, how big is my, how come, why can't we, all these things going through my head. Well, one thing I want to tell you, those who are missionaries, is something merciful happens. Occasionally, missionaries go on furlough, and other missionaries come back from furlough. And that year, the three guys who voted against it on the executive committee, by God's mercy and grace, were going on furlough. And the three who were coming back were met at the airport by me. And I asked them the question when they got off the plane, by the way, how big is your God? And we had a meeting of five people on the new executive committee, in which I was a member, and we voted immediately to do it. Trust God. Our God's able to do anything. The book's full of it, telling us how our God can do anything. So I went back to see Mr. Zender. Secretary says, he's here, but I don't know if he wants to see you. She said he has over 30 applications in his drawer now. I said, no, I want to see him. I have good news. I went in. I sat down with Mr. Zender. He said, it's about time you came back. I've been waiting for you. Here, sign right here. I signed. Then I walked out the door and I thought, my goodness, I just signed for $32,000. I'm going to have to leave the mission and work. Get a job where I can pay for it. And all this. That night, we had a Chinese feast. I don't know if you've ever been to a Chinese feast, but in a Chinese feast, they serve things that are undocumented. When you ask them, they can't name what part of the animal that meat came from. And the goal at a feast is to move it around your plate and occasionally flick a piece off onto the ground. And that was my goal that night. Sitting to my right, was a man named Dr. Philip Tang, a very famous Chinese pastor. He just passed away. I spoke at his funeral 2 weeks ago. Dr. Tang had a church called the North Point Alliance Church. And while we're sitting at this table and I'm desperately trying not to eat some of the dishes, I'm talking to Dr. Tang, and I finally said, Dr. Tang, your church has been in operation now for 4, 5, 6, 7 years. Why don't you plant a church? He said, it's interesting you said that. He said, we formed a committee. I said, well, what did they discover? He said, well, they found a perfect place. And in that place is a kindergarten. And they went to see it. It's perfect. And they went to the office to see the manager. And the secretary said, don't even go in and see him. There are already 30 applications that he has. We think he's saving that kindergarten for his mother-in-law. Don't even go in and see him. So our committee came back very discouraged, and we're still looking. I said, Dr. Tang, if I were to tell you where that place is, would you believe I was a prophet? He said, yeah, I would. I said, that place is Mei Fu San Chun. How do you know that? I says, because this morning, about 12 hours ago or 15, I signed a contract for that kindergarten. He said, praise the Lord. Our committee will be so happy. I said, well, there's a little something you ought to know. He said, what's that? I said, well, how big is your God? He said, well, my God's able. I said, is he able to the level of $32,000? He said, it's interesting you say that. He said, one of our elders moved into Mei Fu San Chun. That's why we went there. And that elder said, if you plant a church in Mei Fu San Chun, I'll pay all the bills until it's on its own 2 feet. Did he really say that? He said, It's true. Meanwhile, the guy on my left is trying to get my attention with his elbow. And I'm hearing such good news over here, I'm sort of fending him off. So finally I turned around and very graciously said, "What?" His name is Richard Ho. Richard Ho's wife runs commercial kindergartens all over Hong Kong. Very well known, very wealthy lady. Richard Ho says, "Are you planning on planting a kindergarten?" I said, "Yes, we are." He says, "That's wonderful." He said, "I have a very serious problem, and you could really help me." I said, "What is it?" He said, "My wife recently retired." I'm thinking, how can I help him and his wife recently retired? Then I thought, I understand. Some of you understand too. He said, "She's driving me crazy. If I could get something for her to do, you will make me the happiest man at this dinner." I said, "You mean she'd be willing to be the principal?" "Oh, yes, she would." I said, "We can't afford, we're not talking about money, we're talking about getting her back out of the house." I said, "You mean she'd be our principal for nothing?" He said, "Of course. Wouldn't want to charge the church, would we?" I said, no, you wouldn't. So in the morning, I understood how big is your God. By the time the sun went down, we had that church paid for. They're going to provide the pastor, all the staff, all the money to run the place, to fix the place up, and we have the principal taken care of. When I learned that lesson, I said, we ought to be doing this all over Hong Kong. I mean, our God is big. He can do anything. So there's another place called Wong Chuk Hang. Wong Chuk Hang had just been built. I walked over to Wong Chuk Hang. I walked into the manager's office, and I said, "We're going to plant a church here in Wong Chuk Hang." He says, "I'm glad to hear that. I'm a Christian. There's a place down there. Go look at it. It's all yours." "Well, how much will it cost?" "Nothing. This is a government housing estate. We need a church." "God bless you. Thanks for coming." We got two in 2 weeks, and Hong Kong's so expensive we can't plant churches. So now I got the boys together. I said, "You know, we learned something. Our God is big. He can do anything. Why don't we just get in our little Volkswagen, drive around, say, God, lead us wherever you want to the next church." So we get in the little bug, and we're driving around. All of a sudden, the engine goes off. I pull it over to the side of the road. We get out of the car. We open the hood. There's no engine. It's in the back. So while they're looking at the engine, I look up and I see this big building. I said, "God turned the car off. We're supposed to go to this estate here." Went up there. Sign says 46,000 people moving into this estate. I said to the boys, "How big is our God? Let's go in here and see the manager." Here we go. We go in, we just get to the door, and he says, "Chinese have two ways to say things. That means come, that means go." He gives me the go. So I said to him in my best Cantonese, "What's wrong?" He said, "You're a missionary." "Do I look like a missionary?" He says, "You do." "I don't like missionaries. I dislike missionaries." I said, "Well, you haven't even met me." He said, "I don't need to meet you. I've met other ones." I said, "Well, what about my friend? I don't want to meet him either. How about the third guy? What about him?" "No, out." So we got out in the hall, and I said, "You know, how big is our God? Something's wrong with the program here." So we all went home and we prayed. We prayed and we prayed. "God, we've seen you do two miracles. And now all of a sudden we see another place." By the way, my knee had hit the key and turned the engine off. That was the problem. But anyway, I wish I had a better answer, but that's it. So anyway, we're praying. All of a sudden, I have an idea. The Hong Kong government is building housing estates all over Hong Kong for these refugees. Why don't I go to the government office? So I make an appointment with Mr. McGregor. Mr. McGregor is in charge of all the estates in Hong Kong. I go to see him in my best Hong Kong suit. The secretary, a gentleman, meets me and says, "You don't want to see Mr. McGregor." I said, "Why not?" "Mr. McGregor drinks too much. He's drunk. They're sending him back to Scotland. The lady across the hall is the new manager. Her name is Mrs. Lamb." So I walked across the street and walked in. The secretary was there. I said, "I'd like to see Mrs. Lamb. I'm working on the how big is your God principle." She says, Mrs. Lamb is busy." I said, "Well, she can't be that busy. I'm sure she'd like to meet me." "No." I said, "Well, just tell Mrs. Lamb I'm here." "No." So I said, "Okay, well, I don't have anything else to do. I'll just walk up and down in front of your desk until she has time." So I walked back and forth, and I whistled a little bit and hummed a little bit and walked back and forth. And finally, after about a half an hour, she said, "Okay." So she goes in. And here's what I hear. "Johnny Bechtel is in my office?" I hadn't been called Johnny Bechtel since I was in junior high. "Send him in." So I go in. Here's this little lady, Mrs. Lamb. She comes over to me and says, "Hi, Johnny, it's so good to see you." I said, "It's great to see you too. How's your mom, Johnny?" "She's fine." "How's yours?" "Mine died." "How's your dad, Johnny?" "He's fine." "No, I better not ask about her dad." And we went on. Have you ever been in a situation where you would give one of your fingers to know who it is you're talking to? I was desperate. I'm running through the Rolodex. I am trying to find who in the world Mrs. Lamb is. Finally, she said, "You don't remember me, do you?" I said, "I remember you very well, but I can't remember how I remember you." That's Chinese for "I don't remember you." She said, "I grew up next door to you, and when you were a young boy, I was your babysitter. Your mother led me to Jesus Christ. I got away from Jesus Christ. I married the wrong man. My children are all messed up. My life fell apart. I finally one day realized I need to get back to God. I went to that little church up in Shakiwan, got on my knees and said, 'God, I'm sorry, forgive me, use me.' And within a month, I was put in this position. See that desk? When I came in this office, I got it on my knees at that desk, and I said, 'God, use me.'" And she said, "Within a month, God brings Johnny Bechtel to come and see me. What can I do for you?" I'm thinking, how big is your God? I said, "We'd like to plant churches in every estate." She says, "That's the best news I've ever heard. We're going to do it. Where would you like to start?" I said, "Well, there was a place I went to, and the manager was less than kind. She said, 'Go back there in a month.' I went back. The new manager was one of the most pliable men I've ever met in my life. He said, 'Pick anything you want.' We picked a beautiful place. We went around Hong Kong picking beautiful places. And one day I went back to Mrs. Lamb. And I said, 'Mrs. Lamb, what happened to that manager that I told you was not very nice to us?' She said, 'He's in Guntong. He's in charge of two large estates.' I said, 'I want to go see him.' So I go see him. Instead of this, I get this. Come in. Good Chinese will always say, what kind of tea do you want? I want guk fa cha. He serves me guk fa cha. We sit there. He said, I wasn't very nice to you, was I? I said, no, you weren't. He said, I don't know what you said to Mrs. Lamb, but she gave me a promotion. And she put me in charge of these two estates. And I've been hoping you would come and see me. I have the best two pieces of property in these two estates, and they're yours. I said, you know, I'll take them with one proviso, that you come to the first opening of the first one. Came to the day of the opening. He agreed. Came to the day of the opening. I had every usher, every person in that hall knew who we were waiting for. He came and sat right down in the front row, right there. And I was the speaker at the opening of the Guntong Sundowei Church. And I didn't speak to those people there who were delighted to have a church. I spoke to him. And I gave him the gospel. And afterwards, he came up to shake my hand, and he said, I want that Jesus in my life. And that man prayed to accept Christ. And he became a deacon in the church we started in the other estate. We did this all over Hong Kong because we understood you don't despise the day of small beginnings. God is in charge. He is the one who is going to help us. Let the 400 million Chinese in China who have never heard the word Jesus hear it. He is the one who is going to help us break through Islam with the gospel. He is the one who's going to send you back to your country to prepare your people to go to the ends of the earth. You know, when I go into Chinese house churches in China, they're all learning Arabic. They believe God has called them to the Arab world. It's your turn. I see people here from Korea. Kom sam nida. God has blessed you. God has brought the gospel to you in power. It is your turn to go to the ends of the earth. Chinese people who are here this morning, it is your turn. Indonesians, it's your turn. Malaysians, it's your turn. Singaporeans, it's your turn. Go doesn't mean, isn't just for the foreign devils from America. It's for everyone in the world who knows Jesus Christ. How big is your God? We're not trying to have a bunch of intellectuals over there and meet in foxholes telling each other how wonderful it is to know Jesus. It's our time now to get out and tell the people about Jesus who've never heard and aren't interested and are not even aware there's somebody called Jesus. Until you meet someone like that, you haven't been a missionary. I've met a lot of them. Jesus, how do you spell it? Who's he? This is our calling. We do not want to despise the days of small beginnings. When we were finished planting our churches, we decided to have a meeting where all the new believers would come and we would celebrate. I thought we'd have 5,000 people. I found out we now have 132 Christian Missionary Alliance churches in Hong Kong. And Hong Kong is only 400 square miles. But when I found out how many people there were in those churches, I said, let's hire the biggest football stadium in Hong Kong. And we did. And we had a celebration for hours. And when I was sitting there and met the people from Mei Fu Sun Chun, who have sent out four of their own missionaries and planted two other churches, when I met the people from Wong Chuk Hang and Oi Mun and Gun Tong and all these places, I couldn't believe it, that our God took us a bunch of guys who didn't know what we were doing, who had $470 in our church planting account, and taught us the one lesson that's in the Bible all over the place, but we never understood it, that our God is able to do anything. If we but let him use us, if we but trust him, if we but go forward and know that he will do the work. You know, I was a field chairman and all that stuff and on the board and everything, and these missionaries would come to me and say, I can't do it. I say, you know, that's the best news I've ever heard. What? I just can't do it. I say, well, you've learned. You can't. You can't. I can't either. But God can. Our God is able to do anything. How big is your God? How big is your God? Do you just want to go back to your country or to the United States somewhere and be a professor without telling your students that the world has not heard about Jesus? Don't be comfortable. Never be comfortable. Understand the small beginnings with people who understand God's power, that God can do anything, is going to change this world. 12 guys in an upper room did it. We can do it. So I challenge you today to never forget small beginnings with a big God equals people coming to Christ and transformed lives. How big is your God? Thank you.